Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Friday, September 13th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
Democratic presidential candidates take aim at Joe Biden on health care.
I've actually never met anybody who likes their health insurance company.
Maybe you have run into people who love their premiums. I haven't.
You said they would have to buy in.
Have to buy in. If she qualifies,
are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Be in for it.
President Trump says he plans to unveil a middle-class tax cut next year. Plus, another storm system is posing a threat to the Bahamas. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower in sports. The Mets finished a sweep of Arizona. The Yankees with doubleheaders sweep in Detroit. Jets quarterback Sam Darnold is ill. He won't play Monday night.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York. Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 1061 Boston. Bloomberg 960 San Francisco. Sirius XM 119. And around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
And I'm John Tucker. We're brought to you by Interactive Brokers, rated number one best online broker in 2019, and low-cost online broker for the 18th consecutive year by Barron's. Learn why at ibkr.com/yib.
And global stocks higher this morning. 6:01 on Wall Street. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 8 points. Dow futures up 98. NASDAQ futures up 28. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. And the CAC in Paris is up 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.80%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.74%. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $7.10 at $15.14.50 an ounce. The euro, 1.1102 against the dollar. The yen is at 107.99. John.
And we begin with last night's Democratic presidential debate, where candidates took aim at Joe Biden on health care policy. Vermont Senator Bernie Sanders, who supports Medicare for all, led the assault on Biden.
Maybe you have run into people who love their premiums. I haven't.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren also touted her support for universal Medicare.
Let's be clear. I've actually never met anybody who likes their health insurance company.
But the most heated exchange came between Biden and Julian Castro as Biden defended Obamacare.
They do not have to buy in.
You just said that. You just said that 2 minutes ago. You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. You said they would have to buy in.
To buy in. If she qualifies for Medicaid,
are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Be in for it.
President Trump's trade war with China also came into play at last night's debate.
Trump thinks that trade policy is a tweet at 3 o'clock in the morning.
Kamala Harris joined Bernie Sanders in attacking the president's policy on China.
Donald Trump in office on trade policy. You know, he reminds me of that guy in The Wizard of Oz. You know, when you pull back the curtain, it's a really small dude.
But Biden offered a more measured approach, seeming to agree that Chinese policies need reform.
The problem is they're stealing our intellectual property. The problem is they're violating the WTO. They're dumping steel on us. That's a different issue than whether or not they're dumping agricultural products on us. In addition to that, we're in a position where if we don't set the rules, we, in fact, are going to find ourselves with China setting the rules.
Last night's debate heard right here on Bloomberg Radio. Overall, on the evening, attacks on Biden mostly backfired. While Senator Warren and a few others had strong moments, it may not be enough to knock Biden off his spot at the top of the polls. And we'll have more analysis live from Houston later this hour with Bloomberg Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli.
And turning from the politics of trade to actual policy, President Trump wants a full comprehensive deal with China, but concedes that he may consider an interim agreement.
It's something that people talk about. I'd rather get the whole deal done. We've taken in many, many billions of dollars of tariffs. I'd rather get the entire Chinese done. Look, if we're going to do the deal, let's get it done.
So what would a limited trade deal with China look like? We get the details from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
The agreement would delay and even roll back some U.S. tariffs. Sources say in exchange, China would make commitments on intellectual property and farm purchases. Separately, sources tell Bloomberg China wants to boost purchases of pork from overseas, including the U.S. and the European Union. That's as Beijing grows more concerned about soaring prices. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. We're also getting word from the Global Times that China will encourage companies to buy U.S. soybeans. According to the editor-in-chief of the state-run newspaper, Beijing also plans to exclude some American agricultural goods from additional tariffs.
And that's sparking optimism on the trade front, giving a lift to stocks in Asia. And Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Juliet, good morning.
Good morning, John and Karen. A number of markets were closed for the Mid-Autumn Festival, so no reaction from China or South Korea, but Japanese stocks on the Nikkei 225 gained for a ninth session in a row, up 1%. Hong Kong stocks and the Hong Kong dollar rose to a six-week high, while the Singapore dollar also benefited from the latest perceived olive branch in the US-China trade dispute. The offshore yuan gained for a fourth day and is trading at a one-month high, although BNP warned the yuan rally is unlikely to continue, as they say the chance of a trade deal with the US remains small despite the recent easing of tensions. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Juliet, thank you. Oil sent for its biggest weekly loss in nearly 2 months as OPEC wraps up its meeting in Abu Dhabi with no word on deeper output cuts. Here with more is Bloomberg's Jessica Summers.
The focus of the JMMC meeting in Abu Dhabi was really on compliance to the OPEC and non-OPEC deal to reduce output, pressuring ministers to cut production in line with their quotas. Saudi Arabia's new energy minister said at the opening session of the meeting that every country counts regardless of its size and should pull its weight. Apparently, the group did not discuss deepening the output cuts, but that topic may be brought up at the group's next meeting in December. In New York, Jessica Summers, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Jessica, thank you. NYMEX crude oil down a third of a percent at $54.90 a barrel. Brent is down a third of a percent as well at $60.16.
And as markets digest the European Central Bank's latest policy decision, one ECB member says the stimulus push could be a mistake. In an interview with Bloomberg, Austria's central bank governor, Robert Holzmann, says he doesn't want this decision to lock the ECB into similar policy for years to come.
My take is that as things change, also this forward guidance and the policy may change, not tomorrow, not after tomorrow, but I wouldn't think that it is now there for the next decades.
Holzmann predicted in his first governing council meeting this week and described a debate at the ECB as very intense but also very constructive. Ahead of the market open on Wall Street, S&P futures right now 8 points higher. The Dow futures up 95 points. This is Daybreak. Yes, now 6:07 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world this morning. We say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. Democratic candidates squared off last night in their third presidential debate. You heard it live from Houston on Bloomberg. Former Vice President Joe Biden discussed the education system and the challenges faced by teachers in America.
It's crazy. The teachers are recovering. I'm married to a teacher. My deceased wife is a teacher. They have every problem coming to them. We have to make sure that every single child does, in fact, have 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds go to school. School, not daycare. School.
There was this moment with Beto O'Rourke. He was asked if he'll take away guns.
Hell yes. We're going to take your AR-15, your AK-47. We're not going to allow it to be used against our fellow Americans anymore.
Massachusetts Senator Elizabeth Warren criticized Wall Street and Washington lobbyists rather than her Democratic rivals. The rest of the field had brief moments. California Senator Kamala Harris used her time to directly attack President Donald Trump. Former HUD Secretary Julian Castro clashed with Biden, seeming to take aim at Biden's age. Nearly 2 weeks after Hurricane Dorian hit the northern Bahamas, people continue to search for family and friends. The number of missing has been revised downward to about 1,300 people. Meanwhile, the Bahamas is in line for another major storm. Bloomberg's Brian Sullivan reports.
Just a week after Hurricane Dorian clawed through the Bahamas, causing massive destruction, killing at least 50 and leaving hundreds more missing, tropical storm warnings are again being sounded across the islands. A new system is gathering strength to the south and will probably become a tropical storm within days. It could bring as much as 18 centimeters of rain and rake the islands with high winds before drifting towards Florida this weekend. Where the storm goes after that is still uncertain. Some computer forecast models take it into the Gulf of Mexico, while others strengthen it and head it up the U.S. East Coast next week. Brian Sullivan, Bloomberg Daybreak.
President Trump says he's planning a tax cut directed at the middle class that will be announced in the next year. Trump told congressional Republicans at a retreat in Baltimore the tax cut would be, quote, very, very inspirational, but he did not provide details. The Pentagon is said to prepare to send about 150 troops to northeastern Syria
to conduct ground patrols with Turkish forces. That's according to the New York Times. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thanks a lot. 6:09 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, being brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
John, what a week for the Mets. A four-game sweep of Arizona, who came to New York having won 11 of the last 13. Mets only gave up four runs in the four games. In a 24-hour span, they won twice by a combined score of 20-1, hitting 11 home runs. They hit six yesterday. That's a club record for a home game. Juan Lagares belted two, including a grand slam, as the Mets won 11-1. Marcus Stroman got the victory, and Mickey Callaway's team finds itself 2.5 weeks to go in a pennant race.
This is the goal. When you work hard, you do things the right way, you continue to grind, you should get to your goals. We've taken a good approach all year. If you approach things the right way, it should pay off in the end if you have the talent. And I think we're where we expected to be, a chance to do something special.
Diamondbacks may have fallen out of the race for the second wild card, which would leave a four-team race, and all four won Thursday. Cubs and Brewers are tied. The Mets and Phillies are two games behind. In Detroit, double-header sweep for the Yankees, 10-4, and then 6-4 as Domingo Herman got his 18th win. Yanks moved 10 games ahead of Tampa Bay, two ahead of Houston for the best record in the majors, but three players left games with injuries. All three, instead of going to Toronto, came home to New York for tests. Jay Happ, biceps issue. Edwin Encarnacion, just back from a broken wrist, has an oblique. Gary Sanchez, already two stints on the injured list, and now he's got a strained groin. Sam Darnold has mono, won't play Monday night, may miss another game or two after that. So the Jets starting quarterback will be Trevor Siemian. Tampa Bay last night won for the first time under new coach Bruce Arians, 20-14. At Carolina. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
John, thanks, and tune in tonight for the Bloomberg Business of Sports show. This is when we speak to the youngest team owner in IndyCar racing. He's 23. His 19-year-old driver already has a win under his helmet. Catch our conversation with George Steinbrenner, grandson of the legendary New York Yankees owner. That's tonight at 8 and tomorrow at 11 a.m. right here on Bloomberg Radio. Or subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts. This is Bloomberg. The Sports Report was brought to you by Burden Accountants and Advisors. Let Burden create innovative tax solutions to benefit your family and your business. Visit BurdenLLP.com. Burden Accountants and Advisors. They listen, they solve, they do.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And it is 6:17 on Wall Street, and this update is brought to you by Eisner Amper. Taxes are one of the certainties of life, but what worked for corporate taxpayers in the past may not work today. Eisner Amper can help. Visit EisnerAmper.com/tax certainty. Bloomberg Daybreak out on customer terminals, bringing you all the news you need to start your day. Let's get a check of the latest headlines with Ainsley Thompson at the Bloomberg Daybreak desk. Good morning, Ainsley.
Good morning, Karen. Joe Biden battled Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders on health care last night, attacking their Medicare for All plan, but the two senators failed to land any major blows on the front runner. US consumers probably retrenched in August after blowout spending in July. Economists say headline retail sales growth slowed to 0.2%. Middle-class tax cuts are still on President's wish list, but Congress probably won't play ball. The president's promising a very substantial tax cut to be announced in the next year. And China is telling its biggest state-run firms to take control of Hong Kong companies. That's according to Reuters, which says Beijing hopes the move will cool the crisis. For all the news you need to start your day, check out Daybreak on your mobile phone on the Bloomberg Anywhere app. Karen.
All right, Ainsley, thank you. And we do have this headline crossing the Bloomberg. WeWork saying it plans to make changes to its proposed governance structure and will name a lead independent director by the end of the year. And it also says it's going to list on the NASDAQ. Futures are higher. S&P futures up 9 points. Dow futures up 105. NASDAQ futures up 26. The 10-year Treasury down 9/32. Yield 1.80%. The yield on the 2-year 1.74%. NYMEX crude oil little change at $55.11 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $6.90 at $15.14.30 an ounce. The euro, 1.1101 against the dollar. The yen, 107.98. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, in other news, the Archbishop of Nagasaki has welcomed Pope Francis's visit in November, referring to how the Pope distributed a photo of a child survivor of the atomic bombing of Nagasaki. Francis is to meet with Prime Minister Shinzo Abe and Emperor Hirohito during his visit. The visit will include Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which were hit by atomic bombs in World War II. The Bahamas is still reeling from Hurricane Dorian, and it's still under another threat. Another storm is forming south of the Bahamas. In baseball, the Yankees won a doubleheader against the Tigers. The Mets won, sweeping a four-game series against the Diamondbacks. The Red Sox won, along with the Nationals and A's. The Orioles and Giants lost. Thursday night NFL action, the Bucks beat the Panthers. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:21 on Wall Street, we're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. The consumer is still king and queen. We get a reading on U.S. retail sales today. With a preview, is Bloomberg senior U.S. economist Yelena Shaletova. Well, what do we expect from retail sales?
We expect another solid report, although we might see some pullback in non-store retailers related to Amazon Prime Day, which actually boosted retail sales back in July.
Okay, so it's payback for a strong report that we got last time around.
Right, but we're not going to see any apocalypse, should I say, in retail sales today in the August numbers. I think it will still be a solid one. Retail sales increased only 0.4 percentage points, excluding online sales last month when the headline number increased by 0.7%. So we will see some pullback. But I think strong auto sales and some preparation for Hurricane Dorian actually will boost certain categories of retail sales. And overall, I think consumers are still doing pretty well to support economic growth.
Remind everybody how much that makes up in terms of GDP.
Two-thirds.
Two-thirds, which is huge.
It's huge. But it's interesting that, you know, growth in this sector has been pretty stable. So it's really growth in other categories, such as business, investment, inventories, and trade, that create this volatility in quarterly GDP numbers. So this is really the core of the strength of the economy.
Mr. and Mrs. Consumer, are they putting this on their credit card, or are they spending because they're getting wage increases?
Both, I think. And but it was a big increase in, I think, in consumer credit related to credit cards around Amazon Prime Day. So we clearly borrowed quite a lot to
okay, yeah, but they're
going
to have to
online.
Pay that back at some time, so then they rein in their spending?
Consumer credit and leveraging is so, like, last century. So, like, this is not a problem right now. Some business leveraging is a problem, not consumer leveraging in this business cycle.
You say that like you're speaking from experience. Fed meeting next week, and we did get hints of inflation. With this week in the data.
Absolutely. CPI data yesterday showed that core CPI actually picked up to the highest level in this business cycle. It matched the highest level in this business cycle, which tells us that, you know, we are finally seeing this inflation pressures that we have been talking about for quite some time.
So the Fed's going to back off raising interest rates next
Absolutely
week. Is that what
not. Absolutely not. So, again, inflation is a lagging indicator, and a lot of focus
cutting, I should say.
Yeah, yes. So a lot of focus right now is on loss of momentum in activity indicators, and that's why today's retail sales is far more important for the Fed than, you know, inflation. Although that, you know, that could make some hawks more vocal on the FOMC and will ensure that certain people will dissent from an expected rate cut in September, but you know that's not going to change the course of the policy.
30 seconds. What else are you looking at?
Looking at temporary agreement with China in trade talks, that is not going to save the economy from slowing down into the second half of the year. I think it's a little bit too little, a little bit too late. And, what could spur economic growth is another fiscal package going into the election year.
Elena Shiletova, the Bloomberg U.S. economist. Appreciate it. Thanks a lot. Again, we get retail sales. That's what, at 8:30 Wall Street time. Look for that. We'll carry that live right here on Bloomberg. You're listening to Daybreak. And this is on a morning when the futures continue higher. S&P futures right now 9 points higher. That's up 0.3%. And the Dow futures 100 points higher. That's up 0.4%. NASDAQ futures up 23. This is Bloomberg.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
And it's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning, I'm John Tucker.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. Global stocks getting a lift after President Trump conceded that he may consider an interim trade deal with China.
It's something that people talk about. I'd rather get the whole deal done. We've taken in many, many billions of dollars of tariffs. I'd rather get the entire Chinese done. Look, if we're going to do the deal, let's get it done.
While he wants a full deal, sources tell us Trump administration officials are discussing a limited agreement that would delay and even roll back some U.S. tariffs in exchange for commitments on intellectual property and agricultural purchases. We get more from Bloomberg's Derek Wallbank.
President Trump has not signed off on this yet. This is all very, very, very tentative. It's an idea. It's not a plan. It is not a deal in any sort of frame. But it certainly sets the stage walking into talks in Washington between the U.S. and Chinese delegations, where they're going to talk about some of these issues. And they're going to see if they can get to a little bit of a peace deal.
Meanwhile, China is planning tariff exemptions for some U.S. farm products, as according to the editor-in-chief of the state-run Global Times newspaper. He said Beijing will encourage companies to buy American soybeans and pork, and it will exclude them from additional tariffs.
WeWork is going ahead with plans to list shares on the NASDAQ under the symbol WE. The company says it will make changes to its proposed governance structure, will name a lead independent director by the end of the year, and that no member of CEO Adam Neumann's family will sit on the board.
Coming up today in the U.S., we get data on retail sales at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. Economists forecast an increase of 0.2% in August, and Bloomberg's Vinny Daljudice reports.
The consumer is propping up America's economy for now thanks to low unemployment. July retail sales advanced 0.7%, the largest gain since March. But Bloomberg Economics sees retail sales slowing somewhat in today's August data. It's payback perhaps for July strength, which was fueled by online retailer Amazon's Prime Day promotion. Vinny Daljudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. S&P futures are up 9 points. Dow futures up 104. NASDAQ futures up 25. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. 10-year Treasury down 9/32, yield 1.80%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.74%. COMEX gold is up 0.5% or $6.90 at $15.1430 an ounce. The euro, 1.1099 against the dollar. The British pound at 1.2467. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
Karen, thanks. 6:33 on Wall Street. Let's get news from around the world. This news update being brought to you by the new Range Rover Evoque, designed to open your eyes to the possibility of what's right in your own neighborhood. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for the new Range Rover Evoque. Land Rover, above and beyond. And we say good morning to Bloomberg's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, John. During the third Democratic presidential debate, candidates were asked to address gun laws in the United States following two mass shootings in Texas last month. Former Congressman Beto O'Rourke says he will take away AK-47s and other assault rifles. And there was the he-went-there moment Former HUD Secretary Julian Castro went after former Vice President Joe Biden when the two clashed over their health care plans.
They do not have to buy in.
You just said that. You just said that 2 minutes ago. You just said 2 minutes ago that they would have to buy in. You said they would have to buy in.
To buy in. If she qualifies for Medicaid,
are you forgetting what you said 2 minutes ago?
Be in for it.
Are you forgetting already what you said just 2 minutes ago?
After that, Senator Cory Booker called for more civility on the stage.
This must be a moment where we as Democrats can begin to show that we can not only stake and stand our ground, but find common ground, because we've got one shot to make Donald Trump a one-term president.
What is the Trump campaign saying about the Democratic debate in Houston? They called it an unimpressive roster of Democrats, nothing new. The president will dominate any of them. President Trump says that he's planning a tax cut next year.
Working on a tax cut for the middle-income people, that is going to be very, very inspirational.
President Trump made the comments before congressional Republicans at a retreat in Baltimore. However, the president did not provide details. The Trump administration has decided to advance a plan to strip California of its power to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from automobiles on its own. According to a person familiar with the matter, federal regulators continue to finalize a plan to roll back fuel efficiency standards set by the Obama administration. As if the Bahamas didn't get enough pounding from Hurricane Dorian, another storm system is posing a threat to the northern islands. It could likely become a tropical storm over the weekend. Teams searching for the hundreds of people missing in the aftermath of Dorian will face heavy rain and tropical storm conditions by late today. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Michael, thank you. Coming up on 6:36 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Report, being brought to you by Burton Accountants and Advisors. Here's John Stashower.
John, not the way the Jets wanted to start the season. They blew a 16-point lead, lost the opener by one, and now as they get ready for another home game Monday night against Cleveland, they have lost their quarterback. Sam Darnold has mono out indefinitely, won't play Monday, unlikely to play week three at New England. Jets do have a bye after that, but the starting QB becomes Trevor Siemian. Hasn't taken a snap in an NFL game since 2017. Last night, Tampa Bay won at Carolina 20-14. Speaking of injuries, Yankees have battled a massive amount of them all season. And yesterday in Detroit, as the Yanks swept the doubleheader from the lowly Tigers, 10-4 and 6-4, three Yanks left early with injuries. And as the Yanks left for Toronto, all three came to New York for tests. Jay Happ, pitching better than he has all year, has a biceps issue. Edwin Encarnacion, who homered in the opener, then left with an oblique. Gary Sanchez left the nightcap with a strained groin. The good news, Luis Severino, the Yankee ace who hasn't pitched all season, is scheduled to start next Tuesday. The Mets tonight host the Dodgers, team 42 games over 500. The Mets just won four straight over an Arizona team that was hot coming in. The Mets cooled them off, allowing only four runs in four games. They won the last two of the series by a combined 20-1. And the day after hitting five home runs, they hit a club record for a home game, six.
Young ready, here it comes. Lagares hammers it, deep to left. Rojas looking back, near the wall, it is gone! A home run, a grand slam! And for Juan Lagares, his first home run at Citi Field this year. And the Mets have opened up a 6-0 lead here in the third.
The final was 11-1, WCBS had the call. The Cubs, Brewers, and Phillies all won. They're all battling for one wild card playoff spot. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. John?
John, thanks a lot. It is now 6:38 on Wall Street.
The following is an editorial from Bloomberg Opinion.
President Trump is setting the stage for renewed nuclear talks with Iran. But unless he reconsiders his goals, he's going to make a serious mistake. After withdrawing from the 2015 nuclear deal, Trump has stated his conditions for a new one. No nuclear weapons, no ballistic missiles, and a longer period of time. That last phrase is the problem. It refers to the sunset provisions in the previous agreement that define when some key terms would expire, thus allowing Iran to resume high-level uranium enrichment. Rex Tillerson, Trump's first Secretary of State, characterizes the 2015 deal as kicking the can down the road. Kicking it a little further, as Trump now proposes, would give Iran yet more leeway. Right now, Iran is the weakest it's been in decades. Rather than push for an extended sunset, Trump should demand a complete end to Iran's nuclear activities. This chance may never come again. This editorial was written by the Bloomberg Opinion Editorial Board. I'm David Shipley. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPI and Go on the Bloomberg Terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion editorials can be heard every weekday at this time. 6:39 on Wall Street. Time now for the Bloomberg Green Report. And here's Bob Moon.
When Alaska Airlines says BYOB, it may not be what you're thinking. It's asking passengers to help reduce in-flight waste by filling their own water bottles before boarding. The carrier figures if just 10% of its customers bring their own pre-filled water bottle when they fly and choose reusables, it could save more than 700,000 plastic water bottles and 4 million plastic cups every year. The airline said it will plant a tree for every passenger who brings a pre-filled water bottle onto a flight and posts a photo to social media, tagging @AlaskaAir with the hashtag FillBeforeYouFly. The company is partnering with the Port of Seattle on water refill stations throughout SeaTac Airport. A similar refill station program was recently launched at the airport in San Francisco. Last month, it banned the sale of single-use plastic water bottles to encourage travelers to bring reusable glass or aluminum bottles. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
And some other stories we're watching. The trade war hurting demand for semiconductors. Broadcom reported modest quarterly growth and reiterated a muted forecast for the rest of the year. Advisors at Credit Suisse raising global equities from neutral to overweight. The move comes as other firms urge investors to reduce stock holdings. Uber has sold a larger than expected $1.2 billion of junk bonds. The ride-hailing company pricing the bonds at a yield of 7.5% after receiving orders worth about $2 billion. And Forever 21, set to close at least 100 stores as part of a plan that includes filing for bankruptcy. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Bloomberg Daybreak being brought to you by the new Range Rover Evoque. Designed to open your eyes to the possibilities of what's right in your own neighborhood. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for the new Range Rover Evoque. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. Futures are higher this morning. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bill Maloney. Bill, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. Like you said, U.S. futures trading in the green right now. Dow futures up 109 points. S&P's gained 10, while NASDAQ futures climb by 28. The U.S. 10-year yield at 1.81%. Gold is trading higher by 5, and Japan rose 1% overnight. While European markets are also trading higher, led by gains in Spain. Back in the U.S. on the economic front at 8:30, retail sales, and at 10 o'clock, Michigan sentiment. After the bell last night, Broadcom EPS beat estimates, and on the IPO front, WeWork picked the NASDAQ for its IPO. In other news, Apple's price target was cut to $165 over at Goldman Sachs. And wrapping things up, NVIDIA was downgraded to sell over at DZ Bank, while Legg Mason was downgraded to market perform over at Wells Fargo. Live from the First Breaking News Desk, I'm Bill Maloney. Karen?
Bill, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, Joe Biden battled Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and other candidates on health care during last night's Democratic presidential debate. Other issues included guns and condemning President Trump. Meanwhile, the president is promising a new tax cut package to the middle class. After returning to Baltimore, the city he recently disparaged as a, quote, rat and rodent-infested mess. Actress Felicity Huffman is returning to a federal court in Boston today to be sentenced for her role in a sweeping college admissions bribery scandal. In baseball, the Yankees won a doubleheader against the Tigers. The Mets swept a four-game series against the Diamondbacks. The Red Sox won along with the Nationals and A's. The Orioles and Giants lost. And Thursday night, NFL action. The Bucks beat the Panthers 20-14. And finally, from Daybreak on the Bloomberg, billionaire Carl Icahn plans to move his home and business to Florida to avoid high New York taxes. That's according to people familiar with the matter. Icahn, who is 83, was born in Queens. He owns a mansion in the Indian Creek Island enclave on Biscayne Bay in Miami. The move is set for March 31st, and John employees who don't tag along won't have a job.
Does he really care about taxes? I mean, at this stage?
Well, I guess, you know, if you're a
hedge fund, I care about taxes. Yeah. You care about taxes, but Carl Icahn?
No, I want to see what golf cart he's going to drive. Global News, 24 hours a day. They drive him down there, you know. 24 hours a day on air and at TikTok, on Twitter. Powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, John.
Maybe you'll take Amtrak. We're live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's now 6:50 on Wall Street. Time to check what's going on in D.C. Some of the top stories in our nation's capital include President Trump saying he plans to unveil a new tax cut for the middle class over the next year. The White House advancing a plan to strip California of its power to regulate greenhouse gas emissions from cars. And the Pentagon reportedly preparing to send about 150 troops to Syria. Also making news this morning, last night's Democratic presidential debate in Houston. Bloomberg Chief Washington correspondent Kevin Cirilli is there. He joins us live for analysis. Kevin, what was your main takeaway from last night's debate?
Three things. First and foremost, I thought it was essentially not much of a game changer for Joe Biden, Bernie Sanders, or Elizabeth Warren. The contours of this race, the trajectory of this race, not much changed after that marathon three-hour debate last night in Houston on policy. My second point on policy, if you take a listen to what these candidates, the 10 candidates on the stage, said last night in terms of how they would negotiate on trade with other countries, tariffs are very much part of the geopolitical playbook, not just for Republicans right now, but also for Democrats. So if you're waking up and trying to price this out in the long term, tariffs could be here to stay. And last but not least, I think that there's going to be a renewed pressure for some of these candidates to drop out. Former HUD Secretary Julian Castro tried to attack the frontrunner Joe Biden in the debate, especially raising issues about his memory at one point during a heated, fiery exchange with Castro that Biden didn't really engage with. And quite honestly, the groans, there were audible groans inside of the debate hall. That was really how it also played in the spin room as well. I'm not sure it resonated or had the same effect that Castro was hoping for. But if you're Klobuchar, Booker, Buttigieg, Beto O'Rourke to some extent, and Kamala Harris, I think that you delivered a performance that might be enough to keep them alive into next month's debate in Ohio.
Yeah, as you mentioned, trade war, it did enter the conversation. Lots of criticism of the Trump policy towards China. And after the event, you actually caught up with Bernie Sanders of Vermont to discuss trade policy. Let's listen in and hear what he had to say.
How would you negotiate with China, Senator Sanders, if you were president?
Well, not by doing tweets at 3 o'clock in the morning. You need a comprehensive approach toward trade, which involves the workers of this country, which involves the environmental community, which involves family farmers throughout this country. And essentially what you want, trade is a good thing. But trade is not a good thing when large corporations shut down in America and go to cheap labor countries abroad. And let me be very clear, as President of the United States, if a company shuts down in America, throws its workers out on the street to find cheap labor abroad, and then thinks they're going to get online for some lucrative federal contract, they've got another guest coming.
There was also a criticism all around for President Trump's foreign policy. Kevin, what stood out to you?
So I was struck by two things on this front. First and foremost, what you heard there with Senator Sanders and what he told me in the spin room was also the approach that Elizabeth Warren took. So no surprise there in terms of the trade policy, but how they were saying that U.S. foreign policy could be used as a force for good. And that's the second point that I'll make with Elizabeth Warren. She made the case that bolstering funding to the State Department, using the tariffs as a trade mechanism and negotiating with other countries could actually benefit U.S. workers and the U.S. economy as a whole. It was a slightly, I've covered Warren now for like 8 years. It was a slightly different, more positive, dare I say, messaging attack line from Elizabeth Warren than I'm used to hearing her deliver. So she's putting this new positive spin, a rising tide lifts all type of spin on her messaging. But I think what's going to be hard for the Democrats, whomever the nominee is separating the personality from the policy. It's one thing to say that you disagree with President Trump's tweets, but it's an entirely different thing on substance if you agree with him in terms of tariffs. And those independent voters in Michigan, Wisconsin, Pennsylvania, and Ohio, that's really who they're playing to here. that's going to be a tougher case, I think, for them to make. It's very nuanced, very wonky, but those are my thoughts.
The Trump camp actually rented one of those aerial banners outside. What was it? It was flying around. I forget what it said exactly.
Gosh.
Something about warning against the socialists.
Socialism.
And can they shake that concern if it is a big concern for those key states?
Well, we were at Texas Southern University, but which, by the way, did an incredible job with this debate. But you could hear the plane of the banner. I felt like I was at the Jersey Shore when they would advertise for the hot dogs.
Don't be knocking the Jersey Shore there, pal.
I'm not knocking it. That's a compliment. I love the Jersey Shore. I used to go there all the time. But it was taking me back to my childhood. But that said, and Biden actually called out Sanders as a socialist in that during one of the exchanges. I thought it was interesting that Joe Biden seemingly would rather go after Bernie Sanders than Elizabeth Warren. But it was the first time that we did see Joe Biden deliberately say, how are you going to pay for these plans, to Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren? Warren's still going to have to answer that question, mind you, about whether or not taxes would go up for the middle class for folks down at the Jersey Shore.
I don't know when you sleep. Bloomberg Television and Radio Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli. Thanks very much. You can watch more news and analysis from Kevin daily in D.C. when he hosts Bloomberg's Sound On. That's 5 p.m. on Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington. It's now 6:56 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
Disagreeing with Trump was Bolton's job, not his failing. I'm Ramesh Panuru, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. John Bolton, the recently departed National Security Advisor, has been faulted for being a strong advocate of his own views rather than a neutral broker for the national security community or a passive instrument of President Trump's views. These criticisms miss the mark. They fail to grapple with the unusual challenges of this presidency. The president doesn't have a strong anti-interventionist philosophy he means to implement, or else he wouldn't have hired Bolton or several other appointees. And he's not interested in a smooth interagency process to guide his deliberation. So it made sense for Bolton to try to figure out what our foreign policy should be, and then nudge and cajole his colleagues to get there. But he should have adjusted his views, too, to the realities of this presidency. As a hawk, Bolton was willing to risk major military confrontations. But he understands that Trump is impulsive, dishonest, and unwilling to listen to contrary views. This is the last administration anyone should want to lead us into war. I'm Ramesh Panuru. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
And Bloomberg Opinion commentaries can be heard every weekday at this time. Among some of the stories we're following this morning, WeWork picking NASDAQ as the venue for its embattled listing and has also announced a series of governance changes to ease investor concerns. The company is saying in a filing statement today that it would also change its high vote stock from 20 votes to 10 votes a share and said no member of co-founders Adam Neumann's family will sit on the board. Futures this morning are higher with S&P futures up about 10 points, Dow futures up 106, and NASDAQ futures up 29. The 10-year Treasury down 10/32, yield 1.80%. Bloomberg Surveillance with Tom Keene and Jonathan Farrow straight ahead. For John Tucker, I'm Karen Moscow, and this is Bloomberg.